Good morning. How good it is to gather together in a spirit of worship. It's pretty awful outside, but it's really lovely to be indoors in the comfort of our air conditioning and, of course, gathered together with God's Spirit for worship this morning. I trust that all of you know, whether you are visiting with us for the first time or you are here for not the first time, that no matter who you are and no matter where you are on life's journey, it is our deepest desire to meet you where you are and, most importantly, to share God's love with you. If this is your first time visiting with us here at St. John's, or perhaps you've visited before and didn't get a chance to fill out a visitor card, I want to invite you to do that. There are some visitor cards in your pews right in front of you. I believe there's some on either end and also in the center. If you want to fill that out, there's a basket in the back that you can place it in on your way out of the sanctuary, or you can always just leave it on the pew and we will collect it after the service. I do have a few announcements, although not as many as usual, which is exciting for me. We are certainly kind of in the midst of summer. Things are beginning to wind down just for a brief bit before fall picks up again. So we give thanks for a few moments of rest, but there are still things happening. Today, we are volunteering in the Garden of Health as a part of our VBS, Volunteer, Believe, Serve program. That is happening until further notice. We're kind of up in the air about the rain. Unless it is actively raining or storming, we will meet at the garden at noon. If it is actively raining or storming, we're not going to reschedule this date because we have two more dates in the month of July that we will gather on July 12th and also on the 27th. There's information about those dates and times in your bulletin, but keep an eye out on the weather. If you are planning on going today to the garden, just try to find me after the service so I can kind of account for who might be there so that if we do cancel, I can let you know to make sure we're all on the same page. Another brief announcement from our visioning team. In the bulletin, there is a little announcement from them just inviting you for any more feedback. There's also a QR code that you can very fancily scan with your phone that will take you to a survey. There's nothing on the calendars right now in terms of any more SOAR sessions or visioning sessions, but very much lines of communication are very much still open. So we want to keep engaged in that process, even though there's not a date on the calendar yet. So I want to bring that to your attention. There's a few more announcements in the bulletin. I'm going to leave those to your reading. I do want to thank you for the support in my traveling to General Synod, the 34th General Synod of the United Church of Christ this past week. In Indianapolis. There were lots of discussions, lots of decisions made. I did want to highlight two of them. The first one is that there was a vote by one vote to change the frequency of General Synod from every 2 years to every 3 years. This will help with some planning. It's quite a production, I saw firsthand. There was about 2,000 people gathered in a convention center and all sorts of technology and things like that, so I certainly understand needing a bit more time to plan that. And perhaps the most notable thing that came out of General Synod is that the United Church of Christ has called our new general minister and president, the Reverend Karen Georgia Thompson, will begin her work on August 1st. I look forward to hearing more from her and about her as she takes lead of our denomination. So that's what came out of it. Lots of catching up with colleagues, lots of wonderful worship and music, lots of great speakers. So again, I thank you for the support. And now I want to invite you to join me in taking a deep breath as we breathe in God's Spirit that fills this place and fills each one of us as we worship. Take a moment to really exhale, to feel yourself relax into this moment, becoming present in this time and in this place and with these people, as we focus and join our hearts and our minds and our voices to worship this morning.
Thank you.
invite you to join me in our responsive call to worship. God places before each of us opportunities to hear. Give us ears that dare to listen for God's call. God places before each of us opportunities to see. Give us eyes that dare to see what God has in store. God places before each of us opportunities to speak. Give us voices that dare to say yes. God places before each of us opportunities to go. Give us hearts that dare to follow where God leads. May this time of worship be one of holy risk-taking, opening us up to the ways in which God continues to lead us and all people forward. With God as our guide, let us listen, see, proclaim, and go. Let us worship. Amen. Join with me as together we confess our sins by praying the prayer in our bulletins. Let us pray. Loving God, from the very beginning, you promised to provide a hope, a future, and a way forward for your beloved people. You showed up time and time again in ordinary and extraordinary ways to prove your faithfulness and care. We too are your beloved people, and yet we doubt your presence and provision. We allow other voices to sway us. We cling tightly to our own plans, and we opt for what makes us comfortable rather than what brings us closer to you. When we are too distracted to listen for your voice, when we are too scared to speak the words that you have placed on our hearts, when we are too fearful to follow, when we are too jaded to believe in the steadfastness of your love, forgive us, God. May we trust in your promises and live in ways that reflect our readiness to both let go and go. Amen. Friends, when we come before God to name and claim our sins, God hears us and always responds with mercy and compassion. We are forgiven, loved, and set free by God's grace. May we receive this gift and may it shape the way we are in relationship with God, with ourselves, and with one another. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. We continue our journey through the book of Genesis. And contained in Genesis are these amazing stories about a family that starts out with Abraham and Sarah and continues to expand like ripples across the water. So this morning, our reading centers around the fact that Abraham wants to secure a wife for his son Isaac. But Abraham doesn't want Isaac to marry a local girl. Abraham wants Isaac to find a woman from his homeland, Haran. So I want you to hear this story, which is so beautiful in its telling. And especially at the end when Rebekah lays eyes on Isaac. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become wealthy. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female slaves, camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and he is giving him all that he has. My master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I live, but you shall go to my father's house, to my kindred, and get a wife for my son. I came today to the spring and said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, if now you will only make successful the way I am going, I am standing here by the spring of water. Let the young woman who comes out to draw, to whom I shall say, please give me a little water from your jar to drink, and who will say to me, drink, and I will draw for your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. Before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with her water jar on her shoulder, and she went down to the spring and drew. I said to her, please let me drink. She quickly let down her jar from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will also water your camels. So I drank, and she also watered the camels. Then I asked her, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. So I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her arms. Then I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me by the right way to obtain the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. Now then, if you will deal loyally and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, so that I may either turn to the right hand or to the left. And they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? She said, I will. So they sent away their sister Rebekah and her nurse, along with Abraham's servant and his men, and they blessed Rebekah and said to her, may you, our sister, become thousands of myriads. May your offspring gain possession of the gates of their foes. Then Rebekah and her maids rose up, mounted the camels, and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now Isaac had come from Beer Laharoi and was settled in the Negev. Isaac went out to the evening to walk in the field, and looking up, he saw camels coming. And Rebekah looked up, and when she saw Isaac, she slipped quickly from the camel and said to the servant, who is the man over there walking in the field to meet us? The servant said, it is my master. So she took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that had been done. Then Isaac brought her into the house, into his mother's, Sarah's tent. He took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Thus ends the reading of God's word. All right, I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Good morning. Okay, here comes Gwendolyn. Carolyn and Gwendolyn, we meet again.
How are you two? You doing well? So I have a couple questions for you. You can help me out with these, okay? Can you think of a time when you were invited somewhere? To a birthday party. I knew that was coming. Anywhere else? Have you been invited anywhere else? To a friend's house. Yeah. Do you like invitations? Like if someone invites you to a party, do you want to go? Right? All right. Has anyone ever forced you to do something, like go somewhere you don't want to go? Yeah. We've all been there. Can you give me an example?
On a hike.
You were on a forced hike. Yeah, I hear ya. Yeah. We don't like to do things if we're forced to, do we? It's not as fun. It's not as much fun. So this morning, we heard a story about a man named Isaac. He's Abraham's son. And Isaac is looking for a wife. So Abraham sends a servant out to look for a wife. And this servant happens to find this woman, Rebecca, near a well getting water. And this servant who's looking for this wife for Isaac, well, he does not want to force anyone to come with him to meet Isaac. But he comes up to Rebecca and says, "Hey, Rebecca, I'd like to invite you to meet a nice guy." That's what he does. And so his invitation was like, "Hey, do you want to come with me to meet Isaac?" So she thinks about it and she says, "Yes, I would like to go." She was invited. Now, Abraham and his servant were powerful enough that they could probably have forced her to go, but they didn't force her. They let her make her own decision, which is what I want to remind you of today. You know, we can get a lot more done in life if we invite people to do things instead of forcing them to do things. Now, sometimes the law makes us do certain things, so we are forced. In other words, we can't do bad things, right? But if we want to help people do good things, the best way to do that is to invite them, not force them. So here's my final question for you this morning. If you were to invite anyone to do anything, what would you invite them to do? And it could be anything. I mean, if you wanted to invite them to go to the moon with you, you could. What? I mean, the sky's the limit.
I would invite them to a Barb's Quiz or something.
To what?
A Barb's Quiz.
I would invite them to a ropes course. That is a cool invitation. That is a very cool invitation. Would you invite me? I don't think I'd get very high, but I would try. I would be pretty excited if I got invited to a ropes course. How about you, Gwendolyn?
To Great Wolf Lodge.
To Great Wolf Lodge. Y'all out there hearing that? You might just get an invitation. If you invited me to Great Wolf Lodge, I would probably want to do that too. So the power of invitation is something that Jesus teaches us. Like when we invite people to do good things with us, that makes them happy, it makes us happy. But if we force people to do things, now sometimes we have to force, but most of the time it works if we invite. So what's the more important thing, invitation or forcing? Invitation. Okay, ropes course, Great Wolf Lodge. All right, I want to know how that goes, okay? Let's say a prayer. Gracious God, you invite us into life, and it's much more powerful if we invite others to do good rather than forcing them. So be with us and give us the strength to be people who extend invitations. And we pray in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much, and thank you for responding to my invitation to join me up here today. Have a wonderful day. Are you going to go to the Garden of Hope, maybe? Or Garden of Health? Yeah. Good.
I invite you to be with me in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, as we take time this morning to consider our scripture reading from the perspective of Rebecca, we pray for open ears and hearts and minds and spirits, just like hers. Amen. Well, it's time to go to the well again. Another day, another trip to the well. Just like yesterday, and the day before that, and the day before that. The well, as important as it is for all of our lives, has become an act of monotony to me. I'm Rebecca, by the way. My name means to tie or bind, though some say it means captivating, referring to my beauty by which men are snared or bound. I have to be honest, though, right now I feel more captive than captivating. Nothing seems to change in this hot and dusty place. I live in my parents' tent, and I have to share part of it with my greedy brother, Laban. Being a woman is no easy thing in this culture. I have very few choices, and the ones I do have mean very little in the long run. Every day, I walk to the well, and I wait. In fact, all I ever do is wait, or at least it feels that way. Now, lots of people wait for lots of different things, but in the world I live in, I'm waiting for a man to notice me, to take an interest in me. Until then, I'm not much of anything or anyone. I've noticed several of the young men of the tribe, but it wouldn't be proper for me to appear as though I noticed until they made the first move. I've been told that I am beautiful, and I have been trained in the good manners of my people, but sometimes, as I wait, I still wonder what is wrong with me. I admit that I have a tendency to get lost in my thoughts about all of this. In fact, on the day I want to tell you about, the day everything changed, I was rather unhappily distracted by this whole thing as I made my way toward the well one more time. Standing close to the well this day was a man I had never seen before. He was obviously a stranger, and by the look of his dirty clothes and his less than pleasant smell, he had traveled to the well from a great distance. As I dipped my jar into the well to fill it, the stranger moved quickly towards me. Now, he was a small man, and he appeared to be kind, so I wasn't afraid. He asked rather politely, but desperately, for a drink, and I immediately gave him one. It was custom and common courtesy to do so, but also he looked so thirsty. I glanced behind him while he eagerly drank from the cool water, and I noticed a small herd of fine camels, which apparently belonged to him. Without a second thought, I began to water the camels. I mean, they had to be thirsty too, right? I noticed an odd smile on the stranger's face as I did this. He, a bit too eagerly, I thought, asked about my family. I told him, and suddenly he exploded with laughter and began dancing around and praising the name of his God. I must admit I was shocked by his outburst. Maybe the thirst had gotten to his head. He then went to one of his camels and pulled out a skin with some lovely presents in it that he gave to me, gold rings and bracelets, beautiful things beyond my imagining. This was obviously not an ordinary day at the well. But I had just no idea how much this day, this stranger, would change my life. I ran quickly back to tell my family about this unexpected meeting at the well. My head was spinning. I didn't know what to make of it, but it certainly was a welcome change from the usual routine of my otherwise boring life. Were the days of perpetual waiting over? Before my father, Bethuel, could say a word, my brother, Laban, caught a glimpse of the gold and demanded to know where this man was. He began making lots of noise about proper hospitality, but I knew my brother well enough to have an idea what he was really thinking. I ran to get this stranger and brought him into our home. Before he would eat a thing, he told this entire story to the family, including my brother, Laban. I listened as carefully as I could as my mother and I worked to prepare the meal, and I'm glad I did. I learned that there was a man, Isaac, in a faraway country who was anxious for a bride. Okay, what can I say? I was initially thrilled at the romance and mystery of it all. It seemed that the ways I had treated the stranger and his camels at the well that day had made this all possible. I suppose some may have been sheepish or scared or suspect of this whole proposal, worried that they were being tricked or taken advantage of, but no such thought crossed my mind. I was ready, more than ready, and ready for more. Now this is a part of the story that the version you just heard doesn't include, but it is imperative that I fill in the gaps for you. Because you can only imagine my disappointment when my family met Eliezer's proposal with a suggestion that I should wait 10 days before leaving. 10 days? This man wouldn't wait for 10 days. I could tell the stranger was anxious to leave, and so was I. I knew that if I waited like my family wanted me to, I would miss my chance. My family must have sensed my disappointment because they responded in a way I was not expecting. They asked me what I wanted to do. Can you imagine? They were actually asking my opinion, and I had one, a strong one. Can you imagine what it felt like to be me in that moment? A woman who has made almost no choices in her life, suddenly being asked to make a life-altering choice, like the one placed before me that day, it changed everything. Maybe I should have thought more about it, but there was this sense of promise and hope that pushed me, and I didn't hesitate. I'm ready to go, I said, today, now. It was almost like I knew that my choice was not just for me, but it was for generations. I wasn't forced to stay or to go. I chose. I was invited. I was stepping into my own future, into Isaac's future, into God's future with my own two feet. My family, those who stayed, blessed me by saying, "May you, our sister, become thousands of myriads. May your offspring gain possession of the gates of their foes." Words that indeed did bless me and remind me that I was saying yes to more than just a day away from the well. In a whirlwind of tearful goodbyes and anticipation, I rode off with the stranger, heading west, away from the familiar, away from my family, and good riddance, away from that well. I didn't know what to expect, but it was an adventure. Yes, I won't deny there was a compelling sense of romance and mystery about it all, but far beyond all of that was the most important thing. I had made the choice. For the first time in my life, I wasn't waiting anymore. For the first time in my life, I felt truly alive. As we traveled, I learned more about this stranger and from whom he was sent. The stranger, who I now know as Eliezer, was a servant of Abraham, charged with the task of finding a wife for Abraham's son Isaac, whom I would be meeting soon, and marrying soon, for that matter. Eliezer said I was an answer to prayer. Little did he know that he was an answer to mine. My part in the story you have heard this morning might seem like a sweet segue, a strangely peaceful interlude, a love story, almost like a fairy tale in the middle of all the other dramatic stories that make up the book of Genesis. But as I have come to learn myself, I am part of a much bigger story, a story of God's promise, God's faithfulness, God's provision, and God's commitment to the prosperity and salvation of Israel, and indeed the whole human race. My story isn't without loss, though. You see, sometimes, in order to say, "Let's go," you have to let go. I wonder if you have ever had to let go of something or someone so that you could have hands and hearts open to something new. Maybe, like me, you too had to let go of expectations, let go of family pressure, let go of comfort, let go of tradition, let go of routine, let go of the plan. But imagine what would have happened if I would have held on that day. Eliezer and I believe that he was led to me by God. He saw my willingness, my hospitality, my kindness, my character. He heard my voice, my choice, none of which would have been visible or audible if I had kept my eyes and my voice down in the well. If I hadn't listened and leaned into that nudge in my gut and in my soul. Now, many admire my strength, my willingness to say yes to this stranger who presented me with an opportunity that I knew almost nothing about. But if you had felt what I felt, the waiting, the wondering, the longing, the sense of purpose and call I felt when I met Eliezer, you would have said yes too. It's not that I wasn't scared, I was, but I knew that this God was drawing me in, leading me, traveling with me. I knew that in order for life to be different, life had to change. I knew that I could not do what I had always done and expect to know more about life, about myself, and about God. I chose to trust that the God to whom Eliezer prayed, the one who led him to that well, would be faithful to me too. As you have learned by now in your study of Genesis, there is always more to the story. And oh, what a story it is. It's your story too, you know. And just as your story unfolds each and every day, mine will continue to unfold from here in wild, wondrous, challenging, unpredictable ways. But I hope, at least for today, you are reminded of something I learned, something I lived, that there is rarely a let's go without a letting go. But that within that letting go lies a promise, God's promise, that we do not let go into nothingness, but we let go into God's loving hands, the same hands that have been upon Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Hagar, and Ishmael. May each of us remain open in ear, eye, mind, hand, and heart, that you might go into whatever adventure lies ahead of you. Each of us and all of us are realizing our part in God's miraculous, ever-unfolding story of love. Are you ready? Let's go. Amen.
As we center ourselves for prayer, I want to update you on some folks that we can be remembering right now. Jean McKinstry Rogers is recovering at home. She was at the hospital. So our thoughts and prayers go with Jean. Vivian Brown, as I understand it, may still be at Lansdale Hospital. I'd like to let you know that John Grosh, a longtime member here at St. John's, passed away on July 4th. Nancy Roberts recently fell and broke her shoulder. She is at home convalescing. And we remember Leroy Horst's sister, Janet, who is nearing the end of her life. I believe that Janet lives in the Chambersburg area, so we are surrounding Leroy and Janet and Jean and Vivian, the family of John and Nancy. I also want to just have us celebrate the fact that there are so many of you who are so gifted in so many ways, ways that we sometimes get to experience, as we did this morning when Grace Bruin played for us. Just a beautiful gift. But there are gifts that go forth in the world that you provide every day that I, for one, am not aware of. But I know that God has entrusted you with you, as you bring yourself to the world that God so loves. And so we celebrate that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask that we just take a time of silence and prepare our hearts. Let us prepare for prayer. O God of Abraham and Sarah, God of Isaac and Rebecca, God who gave us Jesus Christ, it is you, O Holy One, who has invited us on a journey of life, a journey of joy, of wonder, and sometimes a journey of struggle and sadness. We are grateful, O Holy One, that we take with us on our journeys our faith, our hope, our unique personalities, our gifts, our graces. And as we travel, it is you, God, that quenches our thirsty lives from the well of your love, grace, and goodness. You, O Holy One, you, Lord, lead us beside still waters. It is you who restores our souls. And so on this day, we ask you to strengthen us and give us the courage to receive and meet the strangers who come our way. Strangers who have good news, who have surprises for us. Help us to remember that revelation comes to us by meeting the stranger, by making new friends. You lead us on new paths for your name's sake. You lead us to new horizons. Remind us on this day, God, that you've invited each and every one of us to become part of the story, the unfolding story of your redemption of the world, and that we have a part, and that we have a place, that we have a role, and to help us, God, play it well as your realm unfolds in goodness and grace. Oh God, help us remember those in our community who struggle, who suffer, who are lonely and lost. And in particular, be with Jean McKinstry Rogers, be with Vivian Brown, be with the family of John Grosh, be with Leroy Horst and Janet, be with Nancy Roberts, be with your entire creation as it continues to look to you for solace, support, courage, and strength. And we pray it knowing that there is one who journeys with us, who walked this earth, who experienced pain and suffering, loneliness and loss, and yet never, never let go. And it is in his name, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. Our scripture story this morning focuses in part on this servant, Eliezer, who was in search of a bride for Isaac, and he found Rebecca. And I just noted in this story that he brought along with him a ring for her nose and bracelets for her arms. He brought an offering. And isn't it the case that when we visit those whom we cherish, that we bring a gift, sometimes to their home? Maybe it's something simple like flowers. But it is a way in which we honor and we show our affection. And so we offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings to the God whom we love, to the God whom we honor. We will now receive those offerings.
Thank you.
Gracious God, any time we dare to offer up something of ourselves, be they time or talents or concrete, tangible gifts like the ones brought before you this day, it reflects an openness. Open hearts, open hands. And God, we ask a prayer of blessing upon these gifts that have been offered this day, that we might continue in that spirit of openness as we seek to use them well, with integrity, and in ways that reflect the good news of your love. All of these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Before you leave this morning, as always, I want to invite you to greet one another, to share the peace of Christ that is ours with one another. Find someone you haven't seen in a while, or maybe someone you don't know. Let them know you are glad they are here. And then, as you go out into the world, know that you do not go alone. With you goes the love of God, the peace of Christ, and the power of God's Holy Spirit. May you feel it, may you know it, may you be it in the world. Amen.